of the victories themselves. Small wins have benefits. One small win in your life doesn't just affect that one area. It affects every other area, many other areas in your life. You know, we can go back to the way a woman is built. The spaghetti in your brain, everything touches everything. So a small win in one area will fire up some other areas in your life that will bring victory in your life also. So small wins are a steady application of a small advantage. Steady, small. Once a small win has been accomplished, forces are set in motion that favor another small win. Okay? Small wins fuel transformative changes by leveraging tiny disadvantages into patterns that convince people that bigger achievements are within reach. Is this clicking with a scriptural principle to you? Is this clicking within the kingdom of God that we walk by faith? Is this clicking with God's word saying that faith is something that grows? The Bible says each one of us has been given a measure of faith. We have a seed of faith. You don't pray, God, give me more faith. You're going to have to believe God for $2 before you have to believe Him for 20 and 200 and 2,000 and 2 million. You don't get in the kingdom of God or in life an immediate, now, you know, you have are responsible for $2 million budget. It starts with being responsible how you spent the two. Then, next thing you know, you're going to have 20 that you have to decide how to spend. Then you're going to have 200 that you have to decide. Maybe 2,000. Maybe 20,000. It just goes from there. You know, it's the whole faith walk. That's how faith works. Faith is not something that you just get a lot of all of a sudden. Faith is something that grows. And how does it grow? As you use it. It's all scripture that's backed up by all the scientific research. And it just excites me beyond measure. Not that I didn't think God's word wasn't true. But it just settles it for us that God is our maker. God has made you. He set you up for success. Bible says you've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. You have it. You have it. Maybe it's harder for some than others, but none of us can sit in this room and say, I'm exempt because I don't have the capacity to get on a path to victory and a better life. All of us. Scripture also says, God says, Word of God says, God is not a respecter of person, that He would do for one and not for another. But it's we have to set ourselves up into the plan of God to find ourselves in the flow of God's blessing and prosperity. There is something that we have to do beyond getting saved if you want to live in victory. You can live in defeat and still go to heaven. We all know that, right? You can live in defeat on earth and still go to heaven. But God's plan is for you to, through the fruit of the Spirit, hone your heart and your spirit to get in line with God's word so that He can bless you. It's like a kid. When your kids, when they act like, what do we call those? When they act like brats. Yeah. Are you going to give them? I mean, they are kicking and screaming and on the floor. My kids are big. I can say stuff because I don't have them in the house anymore. When a kid pitches a fit for something, they are telling you they don't deserve it. If a bad habit. Baby or the kid pitches a fit, gets what they want. Wow, reward is great. They're going to do that every time. So if they can't say please, they don't get it, right? So why was I on that topic again? Help me.
From a Keystone's Gateway. That's where you begin.
Okay. It will hit me in a bit. Small wins fuel transformative changes by leveraging tiny advantages into patterns that convince people that bigger achievements are within reach. You will basically a habit will be formed by activity that gets rewarded. That forms a habit, whether it's good or bad. Okay, so let me get back to my notes. Okay, create keystone habits. A new habit that when you learn it, it forms a foundation for others to grow. Okay? It has a ripple effect in your life. Some habits have the power to start the chain reaction. Not getting everything right. It doesn't mean you're getting everything right, but you focus on a few key priorities. It's like the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? It works the same way in the way that you are made up in the chemistry of your brain. Some keystone habits, it's like, you know, you have people, I've told women this before, they want to become preachers. They want to be like Joyce Meyer. Does anybody have a tissue? Room? You want to be Joyce Meyer and go preach all over the world? But you cannot control the dirty dishes in your sink? Thank you. Okay, now you're very quiet. You want a million and you cannot control the 10 in your pocket? Thank you so much. Keystone habits. There are some habits that have to come in place, some actions have to come in place, who forms the keystone of other things. Don't despise when it's small, and a keystone habit is something that you, a little change in your life could set you up for huge results. And we can go into a lot of, maybe some of the other teachers will get into that maybe. Okay, they create structures for others to form and exist. It also establishes an environment for change. Here's the deal. If you resist a chocolate chip cookie one time, you are more prone to resist it a second time. It's like exercising, it's like faith. It's exercising your brain. Right? So if you start, you open the bag of chips, and the mistake you make is you eat that first one. That forms a keystone habit for the rest of the bag to be gone. It just takes one chip. And then, I mean, yesterday, those chips out there, those dill pickles, man, it took me one chip and I ate the whole thing. I wasn't even thinking. I was on autopilot. I was in the lowest form of my brain. Totally on instinct from that moment on. If I didn't have the first one, you know, I would have been okay. But the first one, see how one little small thing has the power to dislodge other stuff. Do you know that retailers use this also? Do you know what a retailer has to do to get people to buy something they haven't bought before? When you're in a life stage where you buy things you didn't buy before, you haven't bought before. For instance, you're pregnant. You've never bought, you know, prenatal vitamins. You don't buy diapers and stuff. So it's a change that happens. Then you, okay, if they can, or let me get another example. You go on vacation. How many of you go on a road trip, you go to the store because you need some things in your car for the road trip. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you go into the store to get the bottle of water in a different size that you usually buy because you're on a road trip, you are now open to buy other things also that has nothing to do with that trip. Do you know that?
Yeah.
When you are pregnant, do you know that retailers have figured out, let me tell you, just Target store, they figured that out. They spent lots of money on this. They found the most lucrative customer is the one that will buy things, new things, they haven't bought before. And they also know the psychology that if you buy one new thing, you are prone to buy other new things not related to that one thing. So guess who's their best customer? It's a pregnant woman. Man, if they could just send us all home and just do business with pregnant women. Because they have found that you go in and now your mind is open because you now have to buy new things. And because your mind is open, you have to buy that one new thing. Now you buy other things also. It is the same psychology behind a keystone habit. That is why, you know, it's faith. It's just one step. You are called by God to not take a step over there in the back of the room. You are called by God to just take this one step. Because this one step is going to set you up for the next one that's maybe a little bigger. Now this one sets you up. Wow. This reward, if you want, that I get, and I'm learning about the power of God now. Now my faith is building up. Now I can maybe take a little jump. Yeah. And next time I can take a leap. Yeah. Okay? That is what a small change and a keystone habit will do for you. So the question is, what is it in your life? Okay? People who exercise, they are prone to do other things. Researchers say if you make your bed, if you discipline in one area, you will be disciplined maybe in other areas. Military is a great example. Yeah. So many times you can know a person with a military background without knowing they've been in the military. We used to live on the East Coast in Norfolk, Virginia. It's the largest military base, Navy base in the U.S. And our church was full of military people. And they are an amazing bunch of people. Structured for the most part. You know, but not just in what matters in their career. You know, I see my son. I have a son that is entering in the military. I told you about it last week. You know, how they teach them this principle by the way they fold their clothes. It's the same reason why you had to have subjects in grade school or in elementary school. Have you ever said to the teacher, "Why do we have to learn this?" You didn't see the value of that at the time. But the discipline in that one thing sets you up for the next accomplishment. So the same, that is how the military functions, especially when it's an organization like the military that have to keep themselves alive and protect your life. It's about life and death. So they set them up that in one area, they get extremely disciplined, as I told you last week, to keep themselves and others alive so they can function without thinking. And function the right way without thinking. When danger comes, they don't have time to think. Time to respond. It's complete response at that time. Okay? So, the same thing applies. Here we're talking about a keystone habit. Let me talk to you about another person you know that's in the news a lot now. Is Michael Phelps. How many of you like swimming? Watching the Olympics? Isn't it amazing? So, here is, if you should ask Michael Phelps what goes on in his head before a race, he would say he's not really thinking about anything. He's not sitting before a race when you see them walking like this and whatever. He's got these earphones in his ears. He listens to the same music. He's in a ritual. He's in a routine. He is at that moment not thinking about his strokes, because the moment he's on the block, ready, waiting for that shot, the moment he jumps in the water, half of his race before he starts is already done. Because did you know that it's a long story about him. We could talk about his habits all day long, but he has every stroke planned. I saw him on the news the other day. He was talking to a newscaster and they talked, and I heard him say, when I turned, the turn wasn't the exact way because I gave another stroke. I was one stroke more than I was supposed to. He knows the length of that pool. He knows how many strokes it gets him. And when he turns, how many strokes. His trainers let him swim in the dark. He can actually swim those races in the dark. So the one time what happened, he jumped in the water, he was in a world match somewhere, and his goggles came off. Big problem for a swimmer. Goggles come off, it could disrupt their whole mental state and all that. You know what? He kept swimming because he was so trained. At the moment his goggles came off, he didn't have to think, "Oh great, I have to swim, and I have to think, how do I do this?" He just went in autopilot. The moment it happened, autopilot. He just kept swimming. He broke a world record that day with water all inside of his goggles. It's a big thing for a swimmer. So that is the tremendous power of Keystone Habits. Okay, champions don't do extraordinary things. They do ordinary things, but they do them without thinking. Too fast for the other team to react. They follow the habits they've learned. Is that crazy? Is that amazing? So when tragedy strikes your life, when heartbreak comes, when trouble comes your way, that is a bad time to try to figure out where God's at. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Then people said, where is God? Where is God? In the kingdom of God, it works like this. If you walk with God, you are tight with God. You know the voice of God. You know who you are in Christ. You know what God thinks about you. You know what God's plan is for you. You know you are secure in who you are in Jesus Christ. Then when trouble comes, you go in autopilot of faith, of believing, of staying with the Word of God. But it's because of some keystone habits in your life. See how that sets you up? And that brings us to Romans 12:2, and not be conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I've got on your, that is our first point. I've got on your handout, let me just get the handout. I know I have a copy here somewhere of it. I just put down seven habits, seven keystone habits of your walk with God. There's a book written on seven habits of a successful person. Anybody read that book? Mm-hmm. I have not read that book, tell you the truth. I just wrote down a couple of things. Habits that are keystones for the walk with God. You can make your own. 7, 6, 3, 4, or whatever. Here are some. Scripture reading and studying. Praying. Building godly relationships. Don't forsake the assembly together. Don't do life alone. Function in your spot in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Be others-minded. So you would need to use and exercise the fruit of the Spirit. You notice if it's not for others, you don't need the fruit of the Spirit, really. Forgive. Mm-hmm. There are seven keystone habits with your walk of God, walk with God, that really, the more habitual those become, the better you are set up for success. And for God to speak to your life. Okay. So that is in your walk with God. Other areas, you can write your own. Whatever area in your life. In healthy relationships, there be keystones in healthy. Don't get offended. Forgive. Don't take everything personal. You know, be the giver. Love is the giving of self. You can put it up for yourself. How about seven habits or how many ever of losing weight? Habit number one, it starts with a shopping cart. The when you sit in front of the TV, where the queue is to go get the bag of chips, starts in the shopping cart. Because if you don't put it in your shopping cart, you won't have it. Okay, so what are some of the habits that you would have to make keystone habits if you want to get healthy? Seven habits of being the best employee that you can possibly be. Okay? We're going to look at that. Let me just finish with this last thought. We said new habits, small beginnings and keystone habits. Are you with me? Small beginnings and keystone. Think of what it is in your life. Small beginnings and some keystone things that will dislodge other areas of your life. Then the second one is kicking a bad habit. Now you already have a habit that you want to kick. Okay, it implies change. This is the cycle here. There's a cue, there's a reward. This is where the change needs to be because this is a habit that's already existing. So this is really the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The great exchange. You know, Jesus took us when we were filthy with sin, and he changed us, and he washed us, and he gave us, we were to die, he gave us life. He gave us eternal life. There's an exchange that happened. And what happens when you're a believer with Christ in you, I touched on it, is when it comes to this part, you're still in your flesh, you're going to have all the stimulus you need to walk in the flesh and sin. It's not going to go away. The reward is what you are used to, what you are craving. This is what is going to have to change. And when you become a believer, this is where the change needs to happen. It's called spiritual disciplines. Like I said, coming to church, reading your Bible, praying, it sets you up to do the right thing without even thinking about it. Okay, Ephesians 4:22, do not just put off the old man, but put on the new man. Here's the principle. When a habit is already existing, look at this, everybody. If you just remember this, this is a bad habit that's already existing that you want to change. So you think you make another resolution, it's January 1st, or it's your birthday or whatever, and you say, I'm just going to erase this habit. Cannot really erase it, but say, I'm just going to quit doing this. Okay? See, it doesn't want to go away. Okay, you say, I'm just going to quit doing this. Now, what do you do when the stimulus comes? There's just nothing there. You're going to be angry. You're going to replace it with something. You're going to put some worse things in here. You know, you want to lose weight, but the cue comes to eat, and you say, I'm not going to have the chips, but you're yelling at everybody around you. You just replaced it with something worse. So here's the principle. It's when you want to change a bad habit, you have to replace the action with something else. You cannot just say, I want to lose weight. It's just an easy example. I want to lose weight. And then what now? Now, I have to think about these things. I thought about it a lot this week. But when I change a habit, what do I do? I have to think about, plan what I'm going to replace it with. Now I seriously want those chips so badly that I am just mad at everybody. But I have to now say, okay, God, I'm going to put something in place of it. Go walk your dog. I mean, let's be spiritual, you know. I would say, go to the closet, go pray, go. Yes, put scriptures all around you. That is our first. But let's just come back a little bit. Just decide when that cue comes that I want to go eat chocolate, I'm going to take my dog for a walk. Or you can change the cue, but we'll get into that later. The point here is, with the existing habit that you want to change, you need to think about a replacement for that. You don't want to hang with those friends anymore on a Friday night that make you drink beer and make you fall and, you know, all the stuff that follows after. You need to replace the Friday night with something, because Friday night comes around and what am I doing Friday night? I'm just sitting at home. I sit for an hour and I think, this is not working. I'm going to go, you know, just be with my friends. You have to replace it. Do you get that? Okay, so that is the main point under changing existing bad habits. Ephesians 4:22 and 23, do not just put off the old man, but put on the new man. There's a double process. You put on the new man, you put off the old man. Okay, and the story about the demon, the demon gets sent out of you, out of somebody, they go and they get seven more if the house is empty. If you don't know that story, you need to go read it. You need to put something in the house. So when those seven demons come back, it's not empty, because actually then you can cut the chips and this hole is so big, you replace it with seven other demons coming in there if you don't replace something good in there. Well, that's a thought, right? Okay, 2 Peter 1, verse 2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is your power verse, okay? And so just to recap, we said we have dealing with two things. We're dealing with starting a new habit, which small changes, and keystone habits. We're dealing with A horrible old habit that you're going to have to think, what are you replacing it with? Another keystone habit that one of our other speakers will touch on another time would be fasting. It's a spiritual principle. It's a physical exercise applying a spiritual principle with consequences way beyond the actual exercise itself. That's the whole principle. Fasting is not to turn God's arm to give you what you want. It is to apply a spiritual discipline to get myself in line with God so I know the will of God in my life. That is a prime example of a keystone habit. So I want you to take, just turn the paper over, the handout. Do we have extra handouts anywhere? Just turn it over, and I want to give you just a few moments. We have time. Just take your pen, and I encourage you, if you have courage, of course, if you have courage, fill this out. We said to create new keystone habits. Maybe God has spoken to you about something, a small step that can become a keystone habit. You may have to pray about this. Ask the Lord to lead you. You can take this home. Sometimes the actual habit is just going to get you exercised. As I said, it may have far-reaching consequences. Okay? So even if it's something small, do you believe there's a keystone habit that God's going to help you? This would be something new. This is not changing something old. This is something brand new to start doing in your life. And then secondly, what is that bad habit that you may want to change? You can do both or one of them.
Are these two related or are they two separate?
Can be separate or related. Doesn't matter. What are some bad habits that are enemies of women? Talk to me.
Gossip.
No, you don't gossip. You come to girlfriends. You're perfect. Gossip?
Procrastination?
Anybody? Boy, and that is a perfect, we talked about this, I talked about this with somebody. Procrastination, it's just getting started, isn't it? Just beginning sometimes gives you the victory. Anything else for women, especially? Enemies of women? Yeah?
I concentrate on one issue and I stress my brain out.
You overanalyze?
Ouch.
Oh man, women have a unique capacity to complicate things.
I call that looping.
Yes. Yes.
Over and over.
It becomes like a video in your head.
So we could just do that with positive things.
Right. Right. And you know, this is what one of the parts of Michael Phelps. That was one of his keystone habits. Do you know his keystone habit was not to change his stroke or whatever? Keystone habit, two things: work on de-stressing, because his parents got a divorce. He was very stressed before, so he does the music and got into the zone. And after every race, he had to go watch the video of himself swimming. Just that. Those were his keystone habits. And when he did those two things, he started getting faster and faster and faster. So, okay. Area of habit. I'm helping you out a little bit. God, relationships, physical health, career, personal or other. Just circle one, two, three. No, just start small. The stress, what she's talking about? Oh, an area of a habit, either that you want to change or that you want to make a new habit. This would help you if there's one of these, probably will stand out in your life at this particular time. It could be a way of thinking. Stress or whatever. And then I want to do, I know you don't have a lot of time once you leave this room. So just allow me to invite you to just write it out. Write yourself a little note there. Just be courageous. Write yourself a little note.
A note on how we're going
to... On what you... Just really write in your own words what happened in these first three things. Remember, small things. Keystone things. Let's pray right here. God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we need you. There are women sitting in this room, God, with places you have in their destiny, futures, dreams, your plans for them, your plans for all of us, God. Your desire is for us to move towards your goals and your plans, God. But we can't. We get tired. We get frustrated, Lord. And we sometimes put goals for ourselves that are unreasonable. Too many expectations, God. So we just need your help. So I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you just be glorified in everything that we do and say in this class, Lord. We understand that you've made us a certain way, Father. And we want to submit all our members of our body, all our capacities of our body, our flesh, our mind, will, emotion, spirit, everything, God, we want to submit to your will. And ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us, that you continue speaking to us through this week, Lord, in what it is that we need to get in order to get to the place where you want for us to be. Thank you, God, that you're a God of love. You're a God that lives inside of us. You are the God that does not despise small beginnings, but you love it to see when we get the work started. So speak to each and every one of us. I pray for everyone by name in this room, God, that you just speak to their hearts clearly in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So tell me just by a showing of hands, how many of you are... would like a partner in this class? You can just tell us. Anybody who would like to partner up with somebody in this class, why don't you stand up if you want to? This is a courageous step. Remember, we're not going to judge and beat each other up. So just stand up if you would love to connect with somebody about what you are doing. And if you don't want to, don't stand up, of course. Okay, so there are six of you here, 7, 8. Okay, so with the 8 of you, just stay behind when everybody leaves. You can sit down. How many of you, everybody can sit? How many of you would like to connect in a group setting? Would it be beneficial for you if we have group time as part of this, the last 10 minutes or so, that you just sit in a group and pray for each other? How many of you would be interested in that? Okay. Okay, awesome. All right, that gives us a good idea. And again, the 8 of you, I would love to talk to you right afterwards. So we have 4 minutes left. This is the long haul here. This was a lot of information. And I'm sorry I talked so long, but we want to set you up. So, Teresa, any piece of feedback about this or next week or future? Dr. V? Anything you want to... They're looking at each other. What? You'd stand up so they can hear you.
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm going to be talking about next week, because I think it's good for us, is sometimes, you know, feeling like you can't get out of the habit, that the habit is so bound you that you get to a place of hopelessness. I know that I had accepted some things in my life as, this is the way I am, this is the way it's always going to be, because I've tried so many times.
Wow.
And only to have God open the door to the Keystone habit that was like, the side effect is freedom in a whole other area.
Yeah.
So part of what I'm going to be touching on next week has to do with freedom. And
yeah.
How, you know, God,
that would be
getting to freedom in an area where you think, this is me.
Right.
Who I am and who I'm going to.
Right. That is powerful. If you have friends that you think will benefit from this, She has, we're not going to tell you what it is, but she has an amazing testimony of a keystone habit that she started, one thing, one seemingly small thing, and it shook her life. It literally shook her life, changed her life. So we're going to hear about that and how it ties in with habits in the Word of God. Vanessa?
I don't know. The only thing that's coming to my mind is that I can think of one significant thing in my life that changed that I think that if I had not changed, that would not have me be the person I am today. Not that I've achieved,
Yes, you have.
I'm still searching and depending on God. But
right.
When I first came to Christ in my first year of Christianity, I was on fire, as you are when you first accept God. And but I had come from a very bad background, and I just wanted the word. And then God gave me, and I kept asking. I knew that I was not raised like with a lot of emotion or hugs and this kind of thing, so I didn't know how to do this thing right. And I thought, this is the way I am, this is how it's always been. But when I sincerely ask God to change that, it's a humbling experience to admit that there's something in you that, but if you don't want it, God could totally take it. And when I humbled myself and asked him, he took that, and that enabled me to grow in Christ. So if some things are painful, some things you just have to really sit there and think about, the abuse that you may have gone through, or the way your family dynamics worked. And now you see other people that you admire, Pastor Eleanor or something, you're like, but I'm not like her. God can give you whatever. He gives us the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you trust God, that's why this thing with God, a non-Christian book that we read about habits, but with God, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked him and sincerely wanted it in my heart, he changed it. And I can't tell you the moment, but within 6 months of my seeking him and saying, I don't want to be like this. I could cuss you out in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Every word just like bad as a sailor, just easy. Look at me, I'm like, what? I was not nice. I didn't like it. And I'm seeking God. I'm like, why? Change me. What is it that's making me like this? And he did it, I felt so uncomfortable when people hug me or smile at me. I'm like, I felt everybody was like, mean and what, you want something, why are you smiling? The way I grew up, it's where how it was, and truly people only smiled if they're about to rob you or something like that. And so it was ingrained to me, but God took it, and with humbling me to ask and really wanting it,
Wow, that's awesome. That keystone thing, that keystone habit, it can putting something in your life can start a whole new world for you. That's almost what you were saying. What you were saying, if you allow God to take that little plug out, there's a whole lot more than that that God will then do. It starts with the small things. So we are praying for you this week. And just ponder on these few simple things that will help you. And the scripture again that I want to end with, what is beautiful for me to look at the signs of the brain and then the Word of God, is the scripture that says God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. The things that God wants to do in your life, you have the capacity for it. You have it. God is doing the change when you submit yourself, but he's already made your brain in a certain way, put you together chemically in a certain way, that when you submit to him, that he can work through all that to bring about the change that he wants to bring in your life. You are wonderfully, beautifully, amazingly put together and created, fearfully made to be who God wants you to be. So we love you and pray for you this week, and God bless you.